Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday from Truck Fitters on 1960. The boys behind the desk enjoying a big plate of Big City Wings. Having a good time enjoying all the flavors, as well as all the different things that are in here. They're just taking a break because they have just had people coming in the doors to see Nick and to stop in and say hi. But if there's anything you need for your truck, there's only one stop. And it's one-stop shopping.
Fitters.
It is Truck Fitters. Sean Salisbury will tell you that. I'm telling you that. You come in, you get everything you need, and they have all the different great Yeti products that you can also catch up on as well. We're giving away a Yeti cooler, and it's not just your regular run-of-the-mill lunch-size cooler. That bad boy is big.
Yeah, I'm about to take a picture of it and tweet it out. But
God, you said picture. I don't know where you were going with that.
Yeah, well, I was
I'm
just
about to take a
pic, an image.
Oh. The bathroom's over there on the right. That thing is huge.
Yeah.
And we all know that Yeti is the best. And here's the thing. Not only does it hold your drinks and keep them warm or cool, it's holding Clarence's ass.
I was just going to say,
if you go tailgating and you know that Clarence can drop anchor on that thing and sit there like it's a chair.
It's a durable unit, let me just tell
you. It is a durable and very efficient unit.
Clarence has put it to the test, and it's extremely durable.
Now, we cannot be responsible if by the time you get this, if you win it, there is the indentation of two butt cheeks on the top of the Yeti, but that's nothing that we did at all in the process. I just want to point that out.
And speaking of wings, July 29th is National Chicken Wing Day. Big City Wings will have 65-cent wings all day. Come and get the best wings in the city and celebrate with them at all four Houston area locations. 713-780-3776. There's still more text coming in on the text line. We'll get to Eric. Eric, he's on the HRMP hotline here. Melo, Harden, and Paul sacrificed with Team USA. Don't think they can do it in the NBA? Yeah. The talent difference is completely different when they're on Team USA and they're facing all these other countries.
I'm sure Lithuania can put up a quite a battle.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about Lithuania. We're talking about the Cavs, the Warriors, the Spurs, and others.
Yeah.
Boston's gotten better. So, you know, there's a little bit higher caliber of competition than we're talking about Team USA. And, oh, by the way, guys know going into Team USA that the entire team are NBA All-Stars, not just three guys. And again, I keep saying, even if you get these three guys, and let's factor in this, Daryl Morey doesn't have the whole world to choose from. He's choosing from the guys that are somewhat available.
Right.
Right? He was after Paul George. He went to OKC. So he took that guy off the list. But it's not like I can just say I'm going to take my choice of three all-stars in the league. You either have to be a free agent that can sign outright, or you have to try and make a deal like you're making now because the team that has that player has to say they're available. Milwaukee's not offering Adetokunbo to anybody, so it's not like you can just go and pick your choice for the best three guys that can play their roles the best. These are the guys that are available that you have a chance to get.
Right.
And they're taking what they can get.
Right.
But when you take what you can get, the salaries say they're a superstar. Sometimes the stats will say they're a superstar, a Hall of Famer, a Team USA guy. But how do they mix as a teammate when you put three of them on the same squad?
It'll be interesting to see. 713-780-3776. You want to get to Eric on the HRMP hotline? Eric.
Let's try Eric. Eric, what's up?
Hey, yeah, I was just listening to your last call. I'm sorry, I'm at the drive-through. One second. Yeah, so I was listening to your last call.
How you gonna get on the air?
Are you supersizing that with a Diet Coke, Eric?
No, I'm doing it kind of healthy today, even though it is International French Fry Day.
Okay.
But yeah, to your last call in regards to Carmelo and not being, you know, an ideal fit, I just don't think you guys are understanding the dynamics of D'Antoni's offense and how much of a mismatch is going to be. And then Carmelo is also an underrated post defender. He's not your typical small forward. He's 6'8", with a wide base, strong down low. So it's not like he's going to be manhandled at the power forward position if he wants to be put there. And I think it just puts a strain on the other team's defense to have to match up with him, because you can't just throw the next guy at him if you got him playing the four. Somebody's going to have to guard a small forward, power, or Carmelo, or a shooting guard. That's just a total mismatch.
Who's the ball handler?
Pick your poison.
No. See, some people are going to poison the pick. Let me, if it's not going right. That's what I'm saying. And the other thing is you're saying a lot in terms of from and that's fine. From the Rockets' perspective, these are the things they believe. But you got a coach that didn't get along with Melo in New York that's going to make it work, for one thing. And Melo's got to be okay with that. I said Melo's got to sacrifice and realize he's going to have to be third fiddle for all intents and purposes. I don't disagree that offensively he's going to have an advantage depending on who they put on him. But if you look at a Golden State matchup and you assume that Klay Thompson is going to guard James Harden, and you realize that Curry doesn't have a size disadvantage like he does in a lot of cases where he and Chris Paul have already had enough battles, he can guard Chris Paul. Now you're looking at either Draymond Green or Kevin Durant guarding Carmelo Anthony. In that scenario, I don't think Golden State's afraid. I don't think Carmelo's going to have his way with Draymond Green. If Draymond Green goes down in the low box, I think Carmelo's got his hands full. And Draymond Green is versatile enough, as he's proven winning Defensive Player of the Year. He can guard multiple positions. He can go out and guard Carmelo Anthony. So if, from a Rockets perspective, all Daryl Morey has said is it's us trying to figure out if we can compete with the Warriors, that's the key matchup. The matchups he's looking at. And we can talk about other teams, but that's just my perspective.
He's giving them a lot of credit for post defense, which I don't know how much credit do you give Melo for post defense? I mean, we got a text on the line that said he was basically a stopper to LeBron in the post. Really? Was Melo the guy stopping LeBron? Come on.
I mean, you got to have help defense on LeBron anyway. But here's the thing. Maybe for a possession or two, Carmelo can get you a stop. But we saw – look, let me just remind you. Less than a year ago, we were told Ryan Anderson is a pretty decent low post defender.
No.
Guess how that worked out.
Negative.
He was defined as the clear cut in Webster's definition of a one-dimensional player. There's a picture of Ryan Anderson.
With all these inflated contracts in the NBA, if he was hitting three-pointers, I think Rockets fans would be, or a lot of people would be more forgiving about his post defense, but because of his shooting ability this season.
Especially at home. You can't have your struggles in the building where you play 41 of your 82.
Yeah.
You can have your struggles when you hit Staples Center and you realize there's a depth perception problem behind the baskets because the building's so cavernous and big. You can't shoot and struggle mightily on your in your home gym.
Yeah, and also 6'8". I mean, he's a big dude, Carmelo. That doesn't mean he's big enough to defend all the post players. Like, and a lot of times it's effort, too. It's not because he lacks size. It's like James Harden. No one's really, like, dominating James Harden. It's because of his effort. If he just puts a little bit more effort, he would look a lot better on defense.
This is what I'm saying. The key for all of this is going to be how much you're willing to sacrifice. James, who wants to save his energy for the offensive end now because they are weaker defensively in some regards, is going to have to stop quitting on plays. He's going to have to be someone that plays effort defense. Whether it's successful or not is another discussion. He's going to have to try and exude energy on the defensive end of the floor. Carmelo is going to have to be willing to take a lesser role and be happy about it. Chris Paul is going to be having to will, and James Harden for that matter, are going to have to both be willing to share the basketball, and how ball dominant they've been in the past is going to be a thing of the past if this team is going to be successful.
My bad to the texter. He said hold his own against LeBron. I don't think he was even holding his own against LeBron in terms of defense. That is Carmelo Anthony I'm talking about. But he said that Carmelo is a LeBron stopper, and no, he was saying he would hold his own. I don't even think he would hold his own defensively against LeBron. I think he would do an okay job.
It's also kind of an unfair comparison because not anybody one-on-one can stop LeBron James.
That's true.
That's a freight train going downhill that's really hard to guard. But we're talking that now you're talking about the Cavs. We're not even talking about the Warriors and or the Spurs. And then there's the discussion out there. Right now, as it sits, are they better than the Spurs? I would say no. A lot of people think the minute you get Carmelo Anthony, they're instantaneously better than the Spurs. And as Mario Elie also backed me up on, the Spurs are all about system. And yes, they would be one true superstar less, but because they're all familiar with the system and they execute it flawlessly, it puts them a notch above the Rockets because we don't know what system the Rockets are going to run, and if they run it, can they run it successfully?
Here's one from the A32. You guys are wrong. Anderson went cold from three in the playoffs, not in the regular season.
Go back and look at the numbers.
Yeah.
Look at the numbers in the splits. He was awful at home.
Can't tell you how many times I was at Toyota Center, and he'd be like 1-for-6, 1-for-7, 2-for-8, 2-for-6. Look at the numbers, dude.
And not only look at that, stick around after a game and watch him when the crowd goes home and the fact that he comes back out onto the floor to shoot more threes. He ain't doing it on the road. He's definitely doing it at home. That tells you he wasn't shooting it great in his home gym. So we got plenty more to get to. We'll continue to scan the dial. Make sure we get you in on the participation on the show because we love it. So you can text us, you can call us, you can hit us on Twitter with the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances, finessing on them with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this Parmesan with my account.
This is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow, live from Truck Fitters on FM 1960. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
DJ J Party is mixing it up, playing two tunes at a time. He's also drawn two technical fouls, so he has been eliminated from the broadcast for the time being because he has used inappropriate language.
I think that
language.
Warrants a suspension, is what that warrants.
He is used a two-day inappropriate suspension. Language twice within the first half of the game. So he is now facing a suspension. He's already been ejected, but the fines are coming.
You didn't like the Choke City comment, did you, Nick? You're so Houston. I didn't like a Choke City comment. I don't remember.
I
don't recall that either. But someone from the 832 said I was upset with a Choke City comment.
Hey, if you want to text again, elaborate.
Yeah. 713-780-3776.
You like those wings, didn't you?
I love those wings. I really wanted to eat another one in the commercial break.
You at least had one, though, didn't you?
Yeah, but you have to leave time to wash your hands. You know, I wasn't about to come and just...
You know what else you didn't do?
What?
Wash your face.
Why? Is it, like, all over my face
right
now?
Yeah, you got a half a cheek full of sauce. So I want to make sure you look good when people come into Truck Fitters.
You shouldn't have told me. You should have let me go for, like, the whole...
I can't do that to you, see?
You could have.
As much as you always lash out on me, I can't do that to you. I protect you.
I protect you, too.
Truck Fitters on 1960 is where we're at. Nick Sciarra with his first remote in front of the mic, which is fantastic. The usual suspects trucking along without Barry today, who's on the road to, what, Wichita Falls? Is that right?
He's in Wichita.
He's going to be like out of Houston for like the next 10 days.
Yeah, for a while. He'll be back on the show tomorrow. He'll do it from, you know,
remotely
via fancy technology. Yeah.
Yeah, which we can do. By the way, the Chinese restaurant next door to Truck Fitters has a sign up front that says no shirt, no shoes, no Barry.
Is this the restroom he was trying to avoid?
He did the drive-by dump last time, and it says you have to buy food to use the restroom, and he didn't. They heard we were coming back. And they have a wanted poster with Barry's picture on it. So.
I would destroy this restroom, and that's a compliment. I don't know why he wouldn't use it. He went all the way
to Truck Fitters. Restroom's fantastic.
Yeah,
clean, roomy.
What was his issue with it?
He's a germaphobe. So
he goes to the restaurant
problem.
Next door.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the problems we have.
All right.
If that's the problems he has, then let him go.
All right.
No,
wings.
Clarence
wings
had to go there.
Yeah, he meant Clarence mentioned he's sitting right next to me. Clarence, yeah.
He's co-piloting for you.
Yeah, he's one of our best listeners, and wings will do it to you too. But Chinese food, I would imagine.
Tosh is here. She'll tell you right off the top. Wings will do it to her too. That's why she's spending some time in the Truck Fitters living room. But Tosh was hungry, so Tosh, the wings were good. We love big city wings. What was your favorite flavor? Parmesan. Okay.
What was yours? Mine was a spicy barbecue.
I like the spicy Q as well.
Oh, okay.
Clarence, did you indulge?
No, not yet.
Well, you should before they go cold.
Well, try one.
Anybody else chime in with a favorite flavor?
Cold wings don't matter.
Spicy
lemon
barbecue?
Pepper, which was a John Granato favorite. There you go. Jose, what's your favorite flavor? Oh, never mind. You're not here.
Here's a nice text for Barry. As much as I hate Barry, I actually kind of miss him today. So.
Well, that's your fault.
From the 936.
That's your fault.
Yep.
So we continue to roll on. We've had plenty of Mellow talk We've got everybody here at Truck Fitters on 1960. Come on out. The marketing team is here. We got lots of freebies and giveaways and things that you can win and also walk away with. We've also got lots of the Big City Wings still available in different flavors that you can try. And, of course, anything and everything for your SUV or your truck right here at Truck Fitters. I mean, you can get side steps, you can get grill guards, and all the Yeti products. We're giving away a Yeti cooler.
Yep.
We're giving it away before the end of the show. So you come in, you put your name in the entry box, and you got a chance to win. And I'm telling you, that bad boy is fantastic. It is large and in charge.
And it is durable.
You could do worse than to walk away with that thing.
No, yeah. I've got the smaller version of the Yeti. Like, I've got that Yeti.
Yeah.
And it, dude, it keeps things cold forever. Like, it really does work. I don't know how it works. I don't know what exactly the technology is, but it is very functional. That's for sure.
Without a question. We've had some text messages, by the way, talking about being wrong and how everything works. And we can continue to discuss that if you want. But, look, the fact of the matter is the deal has to get done first. And the Rockets are having a tough time getting someone to take Ryan Anderson from, and it's gotten to the point where now they need a fourth team involved. So there's going to have to be three teams aside from the Rockets just to partake. The one that I saw yesterday involved the Bucks and the Knicks, with the Knicks primarily getting either guys with non-guaranteed contracts they could cut or draft picks in the future, whereas Milwaukee would get Ryan Anderson and the Rockets would get Carmelo Anthony. That was the one that I saw that Bill Simmons had tweeted, but I'm not sure if anybody has come up with any other names or a fourth team. A lot of people on Twitter saying Portland trying to get in the mix. So we can get into that if you'd like to do that.
So Ryan Anderson is scheduled to make $61.1 million over the next three seasons.
I'm not a math major, but I've said he's going to get 20 a year for the next three.
Right, right. But what my point is, they've made the commitment to Tim Hardaway Jr. for $71 million. It's just, I mean.
Well, and they're going younger, and they're going to try and play fast. And you know, and again, it can work for Ryan Anderson, but you got to have some backup for Ryan Anderson, too, if you know, from a defensive standpoint, from just simply he's not a sprinter, you know.
Right.
His game is more spot up and stop and pop and shoot. So we'll see what the New York wants to
do. Here's one from the 409. Carmelo will be deadly off the ball with two elite point guards. I honestly believe he will take a step back at this point in his career.
If he does, he could be right.
It's possible.
If he does, he could be right. We were talking about it in the break. Here's the thing.
Chris Paul could take a step back. You
Mike D'Antoni, according to Matt Bullard, has been talking about getting a secondary ball handler since he got to Houston so that when James is the initial ball handler and he gets doubled, James can kick the ball out of his hand and get it to Chris Paul. Now Chris Paul can either break down a one-on-one defender, which he's always been able to do, or if the defense collapses and comes at Chris Paul as well, there's only so many guys you can double. Carmelo will be wide open, and not only is Carmelo a good three-point shooter, Carmelo is a really better-than-average mid-range jump shooter, which is a lost art in the NBA. If they do put their egos aside and they do run D'Antoni's offense like that, there's no doubt they could be successful. Or could they be better than Warriors, though? That's the biggest question.
Yeah, and like you said, I can see maybe this may be taking 2 years. I can see like a small drop-off. We mentioned this yesterday. Not necessarily a significant drop-off, but a small drop-off enough to a point where maybe they won't be as good as the Spurs, maybe Memphis or Utah, but you did mention with Hayward making that exit,
right.
Utah is probably not going to be as much as a contender unless they make some big moves, and I haven't seen anything of note yet, but they could potentially fall to a 5 or 6 seed. I don't think that's out of the question. I don't think that's like a really bold statement to say. I mean, what do you think? I mean, in the event that they don't mesh as well as we'd like them to, I think a 5 or 6 seed is totally possible. What do you think?
5 or 6 seed for who?
For the Rockets. In the event that things don't mesh well, in the event that they do
secure
Melo. If
things go bad, they could definitely fall out of the top four. But, you know, here's the thing. There's enough, and we talked about this yesterday, there's enough offensive talent that all they need in a lot of games, especially with as weak as the East is one of those guys to play like they've played previously in their career when their teams weren't very good, they'll win more than they'll lose.
Yeah.
It's come playoff time that it's going to be cutting time, if you know what I mean.
The only reason why I think that's a possibility is because we talked about this all year, you know, I mean, not all year, all off season, but what they would have to potentially give up. I don't think you can give up an Eric Gordon and a Trevor Ariza and a Ryan Anderson and just make this team work. Now,
if you all you have
talent.
To-
talent may supplement for that. Like, there's three really talented players, or potentially three really talented players that's going to be on this team. Maybe that could supplement for that, but it may not. It may not. I think the good thing is, like, before what the Rockets did when they added the three big players, Ellie mentioned yesterday, you know, Barkley, Clyde, they were both outside their prime. Paul and Carmelo, they're not necessarily outside their prime yet.
No, they're on the down. Carmelo more so than Chris Paul. Chris Paul's 32, but, you know, he wants to win. So I think of the three guys, Chris Paul has played with Blake Griffin and J.J. Redick and DeAndre Jordan. He knows how to make teammates better and also knows his role, as long as James does too. And again, I give Barry credit. The guy that's going to make or break this whole deal, in my opinion, is James Harden. And then after that, it's can Carmelo take a secondary or third role and be the third wheel and see how it rolls. I mean, those are the things that have to be answered. And again, that relationship with Mike D'Antoni will factor in.
I want to talk about this at some point, this Conor McGregor Mayweather press conference, if you got time. I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, I definitely do, because you were tweeting about it, the second press conference, and you had some good stuff. So we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Abby's mom can slow down with the GIFs and all the facts that I know that you guys out there sometimes seem to think the whole show centers around you. But when we let you be our producer one day, because Nick's on the mic with me, then we'll figure out how to do Abby's mom's show instead of the usual suspects. But for now, we'll be suspects and you be a mom, and everybody will be happy at the end of the day. Usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. Going to take a quick break. Going to come back with a whole lot more. So join us, won't you? 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Truck Fitters on FM 1960. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nobody needs Buc-ee's when you got Truck Fitters. Clean bathrooms and everything you want for your truck or your SUV. It is fantastic. It is the one-stop shop for everything for your truck or SUV. You can also pick up some wings that we have from Big City Wings, some beverages from our marketing department, as well as chance to win everything from a Schlitterbahn getaway to a huge Yeti cooler that can also double as a chair, depending on which listener is sitting on it. But we have all that and a whole lot more. We're going to be doing the drawings at about probably in the 3 o'clock hour. So if you do want to register to win, stop on here to Truck Fitters on 1960. And please feel free to participate. You, my friend, I saw were on Twitter last night while I was knee-deep in the ESPYs. You were watching McGregor Mayweather press conference part deux.
Yeah, day two. So the initial presser was in Los Angeles. I don't remember which one had 20,000 people. I want to say Toronto had 20,000 people, but one of them had 20,000 people. Either way, both of them were pretty packed. Now, the first one, it's a very, you know, boxing-esque press conference. So Conor wasn't quite informed. He wasn't really, you know, he was kind of thrown off guard. He didn't know what the format was going to be. Mm-hmm. And so at one point, you know, he was doing his typical trash talking. Showtime cuts his mics off. They even dumped the button. We talked about it. I think Clarence talked about it on one of the
yesterday,
shows too.
Yep.
This time they go to Toronto, and he completely flips the script. Everybody is basically like Conor fans. Like, Toronto is basically Conor land at this point, and Mayweather cannot recover from this. This is like a 10-8 round for Conor McGregor. He just absolutely dominated the trash talking. So I don't know if you had anything. I don't know if you saw it, but at one point, Floyd had a Irish flag, and then Conor picks up his bag of like cash, which
the backpack,
yeah, which was actually wasn't that full. He said it was like four.
He's got to pay his taxes, you know.
Yeah, and that was obviously brought up, but yeah, I mean it was getting intense. What is that noise, by the way?
I don't know. You mean Tosh putting away the wings?
No. It sounded like something else.
The things that I saw, one, look, with all the trash talking, if you're going to be offended, McGregor at one point referenced Floyd and in the process of doing so used the term boy, and everybody immediately thought that was racist, thought the whole thing then became a racist issue. I don't think it's a race issue, just like I think it's they're free to they cuss as much as they do. It's just these things. I don't think they're thinking about minding their P's and Q's when they're trying to talk smack to a guy that they're going to be getting in the ring with.
Right. I'm still of the belief that Floyd is obviously there's a huge discrepancy between him and Conor McGregor in terms of boxing skills. And when the fight actually happens, like Floyd mentioned, all the fans can't fight for him. All this trash talking doesn't matter. But you got to wonder if this is going to take any type of role in the fight for Floyd, because mentally he's got to be worried right now. He did win the LA the press conference. He completely got demolished in the Toronto conference. He basically has one more stop left, because if you think about it, I think Brooklyn is going to be the last market that's going to be potentially Mayweather country.
Okay,
but if he goes to UK in day four, I think that's going to be all Conor.
It depends on how you're judging the win, though. Because here's the thing. Regardless of who wins or loses in terms of the actual crap talking, as long as people want to buy the fight, as long as they are stimulated, and especially from a McGregor perspective, because the price is going to be so much higher than a lot of the pay-per-views that he's been involved with in the past,
right?
It's that demographic. It's his following that they're going to need to buy in, that he can do this. So as long as there's enough crap talking regardless to motivate, it becomes a genius marketing tool. It doesn't matter who wins the press conferences. It just means they're both going to win at the end of the day by putting the money in their back pocket. The one thing I thought was interesting was when Floyd said, okay, how about this? If you're so confident as you say, then take all the money that you're going to get from this fight and bet on yourself.
Of course, Conor accepted and said send the contract. That's not going to happen. No, neither of the agents on either of the time or whoever's representing either one of the fighters are going to agree to something like that. That'd be ludicrous. You want to get paid if you're going to put yourself on the line like that. But, yeah, I mean, I just think it's really, really scary for Floyd, because he's starting to see the momentum, the polarizing ability that Conor McGregor has. And that's something that's always been on his side. You know, he could basically just talk louder than you and just win the crowd over. He doesn't even have to say anything that smart. It's a completely different dynamic with Conor McGregor. Just completely different dynamic.
Yeah, it really is. And the thing is, you know what? We've seen this a lot. And the fights that I've been to, and especially when I've been lucky enough to be down ringside, when you see these things happen and you see these two guys and they act and they talk and they go out like they can't stand each other, but then after the fight's over, regardless who wins, they're shaking hands and giving guys credit and saying all good in the neighborhood. Then you know it's just for the betterment of the sport.
Right.
So that there's a difference there. And I think, you know, regardless of whether right or wrong, we'll find out. But it just seems to me that McGregor maximized the amount of paydays he could get previously and decided, look, if I cross over into this market and I don't care if I'm the bad guy and everybody hates me, if I get everybody that hates me to reach into their pocketbook to pay to see me get my butt kicked, I'm getting paid. I'm going to make a whole lot more money than I would have in anything else doing MMA.
At one point, Floyd called him a $3 million fighter, and Conor's response was, not anymore.
Yeah, see, right?
Because he's getting paid. He knows he's getting paid. Yeah. I think the best part, one of the biggest highlights of this presser, and we'll wrap it up here, is him going off on Steven Espinosa, one of the Showtime executives, because he was, I guess, one of the ones responsible or partly responsible for cutting Conor McGregor's mic off quite a bit in the LA
in
press.
The first press
so he goes up to him and just F-bombs him and calls him a weasel, and it was great. And I thought it's awesome because he's getting away with calling a Showtime executive all these names, and he can't do nothing about it. You know, the contract is in place. It's all signed. He's going to get the fight regardless. There's nothing you can do about it.
No,
the only thing that's stopping this fight is injury.
Yeah, they need him now, so he's right where he wants to be. And again, that's the beauty of this. It depends on how much of the rhetoric you buy into as being legit and how much of it is just great marketing by Conor McGregor to say, I am going to play this for all it's worth. I'm going to try and convince everybody and their mother to believe that I hate this guy, he hates me, and this is going to be one hell of a fight. And then regardless of whether it's over in 30 seconds, three rounds, or however long it takes, I'm getting paid the same amount, and it's going to be way more than I could have made for what? Seven matches?
Oh, yeah. It could be. I mean, they don't reveal. They're not a public company, the UFC. So they reveal purses, but they don't reveal, like, all the outside stuff that they take care of. But, yeah, you're right. With what they've revealed, yeah, probably six or seven matches. I think the biggest purse has been $1 million, and he's the one that possesses it. So that's at least in the MMA world. Yep, you got the pay-per-view. Like, a guy like Conor is going to get a cut of the pay-per-view buys. Not all fighters do, but a guy like Conor McGregor will certainly. Ronda right. certainly did. GSP certainly did.
Well, you think about it, too, because even though it was way past the time when we wanted to see it happen, when you had Mayweather-Pacquiao, Pacquiao's not he's not going to talk crap.
No.
He's not going to be that flamboyant, over-the-top, and you know, cussing and all these other things. So you lose a little of that might be able to lure the casual fan in by wanting to see a street fight, by expecting that all this crap-talking is going to come to fruition in the ring. That's the beauty of this.
Yeah, see, with boxing, with Floyd, I just felt like a part of the reason why Manny Pacquiao got so popular is because of Floyd. Floyd was such a hated trash talker, and everybody, there was a huge consensus out there that the one guy that could possibly beat Floyd Mayweather was Manny Pacquiao. It just took forever to make the fight. And so people were always high on Manny Pacquiao despite having what? I mean, people were saying Manny Pacquiao was better than Floyd Mayweather, and he already had 3 losses. And people were saying Pacquiao was better. I mean, before he got into the slip and the falls that he's been, you know, going through in the past 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. they're already coining him as a better fighter. So I think a part of the reason why Manny got so popular was because of all the hate people had for Floyd Mayweather, like you mentioned, not because of his trash-talking right. ability.
All right, so if you want to talk about the upcoming fight between McGregor and Floyd, you can let us know if you want to talk about the Astros. By the way, the pitching matchups have been set. Friday night, guess who takes the mound for your Houston Astros? Chris Paul. He's throwing out the first pitch Friday night at Minute Maid as the Juice Box welcomes the team with the best record in the American League back to the field after the All-Star break. They take on the Minnesota Twins for a weekend series. Chris Paul Day tomorrow in Houston.
That's right.
With the press conference available to the public at the Big Sequoia downtown. And Chris Paul has promised to make an appearance. He's already tweeting that he's excited about it.
There's no big announcements because it's a Chris Paul presser. It's not like they're going to say, mention any signings or anything like that. I doubt
no,
it, right?
It's just all about Chris Paul. And the fact of the matter is they're going to show the press conference on the big screens for the people that come off the street
okay.
while they have it in the basement of Toyota Center because the media is very particular. And I was talking about that with Barry the other day. The writers do not like to be interrupted or distracted by the fans.
By the fans, yeah.
So they'll show the actual press conference, and then Paul, I'm sure, will come upstairs and talk to the crowd and address the crowd
okay.
in the arena. But Chris Paul Day tomorrow, as they make it official, as he joins the Houston Rockets. They're still on the phones trying to make a deal happen for Carmelo Anthony. And we're not even through Summer League. So that means that the hot stove is working, and basketball is far more entertaining in the offseason than it is in the playoffs, at least for the last year. We can talk about a whole lot more that we have on our agenda, but if there's something on yours, feel free to chime in and let us know, 713-780-ESPN, or you can text, you can call, or you can hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Truck Fitters on FM 1960. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Who needs the Carmelo Anthony experiment when you have the Nick Sciarra experience? That's what we're doing here today at Truck Fitters on 1960 as Quick Nick gets out from behind the window and is full-blown in front of a mic, and we are all having some fun. Tosh could not look like she's having any more fun if you paid her. And, oh, by the way, she's getting paid to be here. And on top of everything else, we are at Truck Fitters on 1960 where they have everything you need for your truck, your SUV, your vehicle, period, or just you. You want to spoil you? You get some Yeti products. These, they got the 18-ounce bottles, the 10-ounce lowball, the 36-ounce bottles, the thermoses, the coolers. Got some great shades here if you want to check out those from Costa. And, of course, everything for your truck, for your SUV, the grill guards, the side steps, everything to make your truck a lot more useful and also a lot better looking. So check out everything here at Truck Fitters. It is your one-stop shop for everything SUV and truck right here on 1960. We're going to be here till 4 o'clock. So if you want to stop in and get a selfie with Nick, Clarence is sticking around making sure he makes his mark on a cooler. And we're giving away a Yeti cooler. So It is the definition of sturdy, and you will find out why if you come in here. But it is going to be given away, and we are also going to give away a trip to Schlitterbahn. So you come in, you put your name in the drawings, and you got a chance to win. Tosh, you do not have to be present to win. That's correct? Okay, you do not have to be present to win. You do not have a microphone, so that's all we need. We can continue to make sure that you people get the gifts that keep on giving for being listeners to the show. Nicholas, you, in your never-ending search to find great topics for radio, found an example of how good interviews can go bad when you're interviewing athletic celebrities in our business.
Brandon Marshall, ever heard of him?
Kind of have heard of him, a wide receiver. Yeah, been with a lot of teams, put up decent numbers, doesn't seem to stick in the same place for long.
No, he does not. He is now a New York Giant. Was on
was the Jets the year before, the Bears before that.
Absolutely.
Denver with Jay Cutler.
And he went on WEEI. And
Boston.
Yes. And he, you know, that's, you know, the topic of race was brought up. And it's obviously a relevant time to do so, you know, considering, you know, Colin Kaepernick has been a big story during the offseason. He was a big story during the regular season. And I don't know if it was him. I wanted to say that I didn't get a chance to see the whole thing, listen to the whole thing. We'll play a clip for you here in a second. But I wanted to say he was the one who brought up the race. Like, he's the one who brought up the topic. But I don't know for sure. Jose, he's got an audio clip. Let's take a little listen to how it went down over at WEEI.
There is, in sports, you know, our stars get treated differently.
We said there's a different standard, right? We said the black athletes were held to a different standard.
But I'm not getting to the race car with you guys. So if that's what you guys want to do, then you can go there. But black guys in America get treated differently, period.
Okay.
So I'll just say
but
that.
But you admit Brady was treated pretty seriously.
Black guys in America get treated differently.
Sure. I mean, but do you think that professional athletes get treated differently? Like when they hand suspensions, they look at it and say, well, this guy's black and this guy's white. I mean,
we done with this interview? Can I get off of this interview? Alright, I'm done with you guys.
That's it, you sure?
I'm positive.
Why?
Because
you just have some stories.
Come on, man. You're going back to a year ago, brother.
That's part of the
thing. You guys made news now. You got Brandon Marshall to say black guys get treated differently. I'm going to drop the mic on you guys.
It's a quote. It says, if you believe black players have a different standard, you said absolutely at times. Yes, that's all. It's a fair conversation, isn't it?
We talk about Brady, Brandon. We talk about Brady all the time. That's what we do.
Yeah, well, change the subject or I'm getting off and dropping the mic.
Okay.
I didn't feel like they pressed them that bad. Like, I mean, they were just trying to justify the fact that it was a justifiable topic to bring up.
Well, didn't he broach the subject in the
first
place?
I thought he did. I couldn't tell from the audio. I thought he did. But I think he just wanted to throw it out there and say, hey.
I think his point was more that in general, in society, that African-American people are judged differently than white people or other races.
But then Kirk and Callahan, they kind of try to steer away from that and say, well, we know that, but – but we're sports guys. We're talking about in the NFL realm. We're talking about in your world. Are they looking at it from a white and black perspective in the NFL world? Like, they're looking at a white quarterback and a black quarterback and saying, hey, I'd rather have a white quarterback. That's what they were trying to get into, and they're trying to justify that, and he didn't want to have any part of the conversation.
Yeah, it's a
he felt like they were rehashing something.
He felt like he was being attacked, too. But and you know what? At the same time, you need to hear from Brandon Marshall to say, what was the legitimate – I mean, why – you broached the subject. What were you trying to get across? You know, because we can go from a society standpoint, or we can go from a sports perspective. I think the guys attacked – he felt like he was being attacked when the guys kept pushing him on it. I did think that they were trying to make an effort to kind of smooth it over by saying, look, we're Boston guys. We talk about Brady all the time. And that's when he had just had enough, period. But I thought that they might have been able to salvage it. But, that didn't go so well.
Yeah, I figured, you know, considering you look at the markets he's been in, he's a giant now. But if you look at the markets, well, even in New York, I mean, those are the type of markets that we've talked about, like a Philadelphia, like a no-nonsense type of market when it comes down to the media covering the team. They will press you. They will force you to answer a question if they feel like they need to get a quote. They won't steer away, or they won't let you bully them around into asking the questions that you want them to ask. So Brandon is like, he's no stranger to that type of dynamic, but I guess he just wasn't in the mood. He just immediately got turned off, and so he bailed. Everybody, you know, he bailed.
Everybody has a bad day. Look, Brandon Marshall was great on Radio Row.
Yeah, he was.
Brandon Marshall seems like a really good guy, but even really good guys have bad days sometimes, and maybe that just was a different feeling. You know, we've been there and done that.
Oh yeah,
we've had plenty of interviews that we've done where you can tell the vibe from the minute someone sits down, and you know this is either going to be like pulling teeth or this is going to be a lot of fun. And just on Radio Row alone, you could tell the guys that had to be there and weren't happy to do it.
I always bring that up.
Yeah, and you could tell the people that just were looking to have a good time and love the fact that we're not going to sit in there and just talk about football. We're going to have some fun with them and get to some other stuff that they might want to talk about because you know why? They'll want to come back.
Yeah. You got to understand that these guys are a lot of times are promoting something and they are doing interview after interview after interview. And when they get to interview 36 and they've been asked basically the same questions over and over again, over and over, they're human. It's hard for them to have the same amount of enthusiasm as answering the same question that they've been asked.
Look at Bruce Arians. We had Bruce Arians on the other day, and we had Bruce Arians on.
He wasn't bad. He was
good. No, and we got him early in the process. But you know what? To your point, he probably had already done quite a few interviews, and it was like pulling teeth to get answers, and we were even quoting things from his book. But now when I look across social media and I see he's admitted to drinking paint as a kid and thought that would help him and stuff like that, we're like, well, where was that when we were talking to you? But that's sometimes what you get. Sometimes you hit the home run. Sometimes you get hit in the temple when you're trying to hit the home run when you have these interviews on. But it's part of the game.
713-780-3776. Remember, you can download the ESPN app. Go to your local app store. Go to iTunes, go to Google Play, search ESPN 97.5 or ESPN Houston, and download the app. Listen to all your favorite programming, including the usual suspects from anywhere in the world.
Yeah, download that app, people. I mean, look, for any, it just makes sense. You know, from technology standpoint, from this day and age where everything goes through your phone, download the app, take us anywhere. Then there are no boundaries. There are no signals that get lost when you go across state lines. You just download the app. You run it through your Bluetooth in the car. You can run it through your computer. You can take it when you're in different states, and you can always listen to us. We always get great people that chime in and tell us where they are in the United States listening to us. That's the great thing about it. You always used to complain you can't get your favorite radio stations when you're on a trip. Now you can. So download the app. Go to ESPN975.com. Make sure you follow the instructions. Take us anywhere. Or in Clarence's case, follow us anywhere, almost like a stalker. We've got plenty more to go as we got two in the books, one more hour of the show. Lots to get to. By the way, Lonzo Ball went off last night in Summer League, and he wasn't wearing the Big Baller brand. We'll explain and a whole lot
more. The Big Three is coming up next, though.
That's right, and stay tuned for the Big Three with JB. That's me. I'll do that. How about that?
Yep.
I will do that and a whole lot more in the final hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.